Radio Birdman right now for Paul. And next week we have Greg Walsh coming in with his project. And just stick around. Vin Magazine, he's coming up next. Until next time. Well, thank you to all my listeners, by the way. And, special thanks to Feedbag. And
thank you, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
All our callers and requests.
Thanks for listening.
DJ.
Come see us
Rosie.
Sometime.
Okay. Until next time. See ya.
WMF rules.
Lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Okay, and with that, it's WMFO, and it's the start of Acoustic Sailing. How you doing, everybody? Okay. On today's show, we have Anne-Marie Silverberg. She'll be talking about dogs, about behavior, about training, and that's going to be right after the first song. So we'll be starting the program in just a moment. How's it going, everyone out there? Call me at 855-915-9636. I would love to hear from you, and I'm looking forward to today's program quite a bit. It's always fun to have people call in and talk about their pets, and especially their dogs, and today, we have an expert, and you do not want to miss out on this show. So, without further ado, here's a PSA, one song, and then we'll jump right into the dog training.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on WMFO Medford, and it's time to start the show. This is Paul Weller from his brand new record. It just came out a matter of weeks ago. It's called True Meanings, and I hope you enjoy it. This is WMFO Medford. Called Mayfly right there by Paul Weller from his brand new record called True Meanings. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. I hope you liked it too. And it's time to smash through the acoustic ceiling. Without further ado, it's time to do it. Guess what? And here it is, smashing time right now. Right now, I said. We're going to smash. Okay, welcome to the program, Anne Marie Silverberg. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you're on the air. This is WMFO, and anyone listening right now can call in with their questions about dogs and dog training. But first, Anne-Marie, let's talk a little bit about your situation. What do you specialize in?
Yeah, So I'm a certified dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. And so I specialize primarily in behavior modification for dogs who are struggling with fear issues, like anxiety and aggression.
So in a way, you're a dog psychiatrist.
In a way, yeah.
Okay. And so what's like a common problem that you help dog owners or pet owners overcome?
The most common thing I get called for in Somerville is leash reactivity, actually.
What does that mean, leash reactivity?
Oh, well, many dogs have some stemming from either fear or, you know, over excitement when they see another dog or they see a person on leash, and so they bark and they lunge or they growl and they kind of, you know, put on this whole show. And it's a little bit embarrassing for the owner on the other end of that leash to have the dog making quite a ruckus. But what a lot of people don't realize is that your dog's not trying to give you a hard time. They're just having a really hard time.
So what's the dog struggling with? Like they're trying to just control themselves? They're afraid of someone? Or they want to kind of like just jump on their leg or something? What's the dog trying to do?
Well, aggression is a fear response, period. And so when we have a dog who's reacting and their body language is showing a bit of aggression, they are afraid. So where that fear stems from, I mean, kind of matters, but at the end of the day, not really. So we have this dog who's reacting, you know, out of fear. And so their objective is to send whatever they're barking at away. So for dogs who react to dogs, the reason they're barking and lunging is they're kind of doing this big to-do all to try and get that other dog to go away, right? They just want it to leave.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Is it true that a dog that does bark a lot is always afraid or more afraid than a dog that's kind of mellow or are they just more aware perhaps?
Yeah, so generally when we have dogs who are barking at stuff, mm-hmm. So if I'm, you know, strolling along on a leash minding my own business and I'm barking at this person walking by and pulling forward quite, you know, strongly, I'm probably trying to send that person away. I'm probably afraid. I think, oh, I don't like this, go away, ah! Which is different from the dog who, you know, you're sitting at home trying to, you know, I have a lot of people who try to work from home and then their dog shows up and starts barking at them, right? That's something different. That's attention seeking. That's, hey, I'm bored. I want to do stuff.
Right.
Which is much different from the dog barking out the window at the mailman, which is an attempt in that scenario too to send that mailman away.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, he always does go away, right?
Right. I have a whole bunch of questions, but I do want some of the callers out there to call in with their dog questions. 855-915-9636 is the number. So that's 855-915-9636. Now, Anne-Marie, are there some people who are dog people and the dog knows it? Or and there is the reverse true? Like some people don't like dogs and the dog just... they get a sense of it somehow?
In a way. So that's a really interesting question. So people, I generally find people who say that they are dog people are usually more, they see a dog and they get more excited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm a dog person. I see this dog. Oh boy, hey dog. And if that dog is friendly, they're going to really appreciate that greeting. But if that dog is fearful, then they're probably going to get scared. Right? Because, oh my goodness, why is this person all of a sudden crouching down and reaching at me? Ah! Right, that can be quite scary if you're a little bit fearful, where those fearful dogs actually tend to much appreciate those people who probably don't want anything to do with dogs, and so they pretend that the dog is invisible. Right? And that fearful dog loves that because the person isn't staring at them or reaching at them or trying too hard to be their friend.
Right. So the dog reaction, I mean... some dogs, you know, they bite. Some dogs bark, and I mean, they just get a sense of what to do. Is kind of what I'm hearing from. They take cues from whoever's around them, and they have like a sixth sense about what they should react or how they should react. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, all dogs smell a certain smell and then they do X, Y, and Z. They, you know, each dog has something going on with them, you know, in their dog brain, and then they react. Is that right?
Right, in a sense. So we do know that dogs smell and react to human fear. So if you're afraid, your dog is going to smell your fear pheromone, and then they are also going to get scared. Right? So they smell that fear, and they go, oh, gosh, why are we scared? What are we scared of right now? And that's really hard for a fearful dog, and that's a general sense. But we do have to look at it dog by dog and in context by context, how they're going to feed off of those cues that the people are giving to them.
I see.
And some dogs take a lot more things in stride than others.
So, Anne-Marie, tell the listeners about yourself. This is Anne-Marie Silverberg. She is a part of Brainiacs. It's a dog training establishment. And tell the listeners about what got you into the profession and what your background is, please.
Yeah, so I got into animal behavior all the way back when I was 14, volunteering actually, it was a cat rescue of all things. We had this cat that was deemed unadoptable because he was too aggressive. And I'll keep this long story short. Guy came in and asked for our most difficult cat. And so he got Burger, came back 3 months later with the friendliest cat I've ever met. And so that was kind of the end of that. And I've been working with dogs since then. So I've gone from the veterinary technician for 7 years. 3 of those years I spent specializing in behavior. And then after we moved to Massachusetts with the birth of my son, I decided to start my own business. And so that is when I started Brainiacs.
So is are you a veterinarian or are you more of a kind of a veterinarian's assistant? What would you call yourself?
I would call myself a behavior consultant, a canine behaviorist.
So
is what I do. So that's my certification.
Okay. So you don't do like operations on dogs?
No. Okay. It's assisted operations on dogs, but I don't do that anymore.
Okay. All right. Do you ever have people come into Brainiacs or call you up about dogs that chase cars?
Oh, yes.
Well, tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so that's, again, that can stem from a number of things. That can be a prey drive, right? It's really reinforcing to chase stuff. It feels good. It's really fun. Or sometimes we have dogs who, again, are afraid of those cars. And so I am reacting because I'm scared of this thing and I want it to go away. And it always goes away. Right? They have no idea that car's going anyway, whether or not they make a big ruckus. And so you have to look at where the behavior is stemming from to decide your treatment or to decide how you're going to go forward and how you're going to handle it. The dog's emotional state really does matter.
Mm-hmm. Some dogs outrun the cars, don't they? I mean, they can really just like get up and go and... It's kind of a dangerous thing, isn't it? So.
Oh, it's really dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous, especially in a city where, you know, you have a lot of crazy traffic going on and it's, you know, really, it's sometimes quite frightening when the dogs get off of their leash or away from their owners and they're chasing after something down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets get really busy.
Oh, absolutely. 855-915-9636. That's the number. Give us a call. Tell us about your dog and if you have any questions. So, Emery, here's a dog bark. Can you learn anything or discern anything from this dog? Let's listen for a second.
That dog sounds like he's alerting to something.
He's alerted to something?
Right. Maybe there's someone at the door. Yeah.
How about this one?
That one too.
They're wondering what's out there. They're
yeah,
kind of like
very alert bark.
This one
responding to something.
That one's that's a Siberian Husky. That sounds like a dog that's ready to like protect someone, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I want to say they almost sound mad or upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Hey, go away.
Right. Exactly. Let's hear this next dog. Here we go. It's coming up in just a second. Okay. Here we go. Check out this one. What is that? That's a Pekingese.
It is a Pekingese.
What do you suppose that dog is thinking or reacting to?
That sounds like a small dog.
It is, yes.
So, a little hard to hear over the audio. That could be a dog who's alerting, or that could be a dog who's just really excited about something, although it sounds more like an alert from what I'm hearing.
I mean, it's sort of like...
Smaller dog, different pitch.
Definitely. What are some like fascinating things about dogs? I mean, there's something about them that keeps you interested in their lives. Tell us like something about it that's very appealing to you. I'm sure there's lots of things.
One of the, Oh, there's so many things. I in what I do, I kind of love being that voice for the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To kind of come into someone's home, hear about the struggles that they're having with their dog, and really listen to their dog, right? Why is this so hard for your dog? What is going on in their head that you're having this struggle? So I can kind of understand where the dog is coming from, and then give the owners more of an understanding. And, you know, it really, working through things repairs relationships, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I never really thought of it that way, because you're actually helping the dog owner and you're helping the dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of benefit. And if a family dog, everyone in the family gets a direct benefit from your work.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that what you do, by the way? Do you normally go to somebody's home, or do they bring the dog to you?
I go to people's home.
Because you want to see their environment?
I find it's a lot easier to go into someone's environment, because when we start talking about training plans, I can say, put a bed here, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Move this over here. If we need to make environmental changes, I can point everything out. I also find that most people are more comfortable in their own homes, and it gives me more of a sense of the relationship between the dog and their owners.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Right, being in the house. Yeah.
Here's a little dog trivia. See if you can name this dog. Try to figure out what type of dog it is.
Oh, boy. Oh, it sounds like a smaller dog.
It says it's a schnauzer.
A schnauzer?
Yeah, that's what it says. Schnauzer. Interesting. How about this one?
It's smaller. At least I got that part right.
Yeah, it's true. There you go. How about this one?
I'm glad I did it.
What about this one? I actually don't know what type of dog that is, but it sounds like a kind of a nice dog. I sort of, some dogs have really vicious growls and barks, and some other dogs are kind of fun. Like a little chihuahua. Check this one out. No, sorry. That sounds like a frightened chihuahua, doesn't it? Like a nice chihuahua.
Right? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I'm saying all these barks sound very alert. I mean, listening to barks of dogs, I think the primary dogs, you can really tell the difference to the brachycephalic breeds. They sound much different.
Yeah.
The ones with the mushed in faces, so like the pugs, the Boston Terriers, the Frenchies. I can usually pick out a German Shepherd bark.
Really?
And a Beagle. They all have very specific barks, yeah. But I think that also comes from working in veterinary hospitals for 7 years and listening to the dogs bark in the lobby waiting their turn.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to talk a little bit about Brainiacs. I mean, where can people find out about Brainiacs if they have any, like, you know, specific questions, or they want to, you know, have some answers? You know, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can check out my website. It's BrainiacsDogTraining.com. You can always send me an email, BrainiacsDogTraining@gmail.com. And we do have a Instagram page. So you can find us on Instagram. The username is BrainiacsDT. So DT as in dog training. We post a lot of videos and training tips over there. And if you check out the website, we have a blog series starting in 2019, focused around facing fear.
Okay.
So helping.
I'm going to play a song, and then we'll come back and talk some more. And 855-915-9636. I hope some callers call in with your questions, and Anne Marie would love to answer them. Okay, so I'll be back with you in just a minute. Check out Dogs. This is The Who.
First time we met, you were a kennel maid. You gave me a tip, I got me full cars paid. You were holding the greyhound in trap number one. Your white coat was shining in the afternoon sun. Now we're both together. We're never gonna break apart, no, no. 'Cause we're a happy couple, you and me. With a greyhound at either knee.
Attention is the way of the career of Flash, young man.
What dog's that?
It is Saturday night. We put all our money on a dog that we like. A kiss and a cuddle, an awfully high $2 tickets and a starry sky.
Wage packet, I read it. And I'll put 25 nicker, please, on yellow printer. Oh, I hope the wife don't find out. Yes, it's short of weed.
This is WMFO in Medford. That's The Who right there. And with a song called Dogs. We're back with Anne-Marie Silverberg. Anne-Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. I really appreciate you calling in and talking about dogs and just providing a little bit of dog education. What's another word for canine education or canine schooling? What would you call it?
Training, dog training.
Dog training and dog behavior. Yes. Is just dog training a dog behavior? Yes.
It depends on who's doing it, right? And what kind of specialties they have and what you're working towards. So if you're looking to change a dog's response to a stimuli, then you're looking more at behavior modification. If you're looking at trying to teach a dog how to sit, then you're looking at training.
If someone has a little puppy, a young dog, what's kind of the first thing, would you say, for training and behavior? I mean, I would imagine it would be to stop the biting and nibbling. That would be a top priority, but you're an expert. Tell me what you would say would be the first thing to address.
The very first thing you need to do when you bring a puppy home is sign up for puppy class. Socialization is so incredibly important. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, your puppy's in prime socialization period up until 16 weeks old, and that's why most puppy classes cut off at 16 weeks. But those experiences in those early stages of life really matter for later on. With my puppies, I actually don't set a ton of rules. Mm-hmm. I like to let them have fun and experience the world and understand that, puppies are bitey and they're chompy, but they're also teething. And I don't know if you remember teething, but it hurts.
Sure.
So we redirect that. We don't correct it. So your puppy comes over and they're chewing on your hand, and here's this thing you can chew on instead. I'm just going to take my hand away. Right, so we usually redirect that, and that usually cuts itself out once all their teeth are in and they're not feeling so mouthy and bitey anymore. But the most important thing for puppies is socialization and to not try too hard, right? To expose them to things without forcing them to interact with things. You don't want to scare them by accident. That's backwards.
So be exposing them to other dogs and to people?
Exactly, and you get both of that in a puppy class.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so puppy classes are structured around socialization. So working around other dogs, waiting your turn, meeting new people, meeting new dogs. There's a lot of puppy classes now that will bring out big, strange objects. My last puppy class that I attended, they had this really giant stuffed dinosaur that they brought out at one point and put it in the middle of the room. And a lot of the puppies were like, "Whoa, what is that thing?" But, they recovered quickly and went to check it out. And that kind of stuff is so important for baby dogs.
855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Anne-Marie's here, and she's telling us all about dog behavior and dog training. Is there a certain time frame that would you say almost all little puppies should start these socialization classes?
Ideally between 11 and 16 weeks. So 16 weeks is your socialization cutoff. And the reason I don't usually like to start until 12 weeks to be safe is that you have a fear period that happens from 8 to 11 weeks. And so puppies, if they undergo anything that's traumatic, remember, trauma is, you know, the person who's experiencing it decides what's traumatic. But things that puppies experience in that fear period, any trauma, it tends to stick with them for life.
Hmm.
Right? So if you try and take them out to a puppy class and they get really, really scared on the tee, they may be afraid of that tee forever.
Right.
Right? Because something really, really scary happened during your prime fear period. And so I hate to say shelter your puppy for 2 weeks, but don't do anything too new or big or scary until they're about 12 weeks old.
Well, I think that's sound advice because, I mean, think about when you're a kid and you go through different things and you're influenced by things. I mean, if you see a scary movie and you're too small, you'll have nightmares perhaps. You'll be afraid of doing, you fill in the blank, X, Y, and Z, because it was a little bit of a scary situation where you saw a TV show or a movie or whatever. That's true. Dogs go through the same thing, don't they?
They absolutely do. And there's multiple fear periods. I mean, the first one is from 8 to 11 weeks when you would have your puppy. And then there's a second fear period, which is really fun because that one happens somewhere between 4 and 9 months and lasts for about 3 weeks. So if you've got a dog in that age period and you're walking around outside and all of a sudden they're startling at stuff they never startled at before, they might be going through that fear period. That doesn't mean that you get to excuse it and say, oh, it'll go away on its own, but you know, help them through it and keep an eye on it, and it will probably level out when they hit the end of their fear period. If they don't, that's when you need to reach out for help.
And so it sounds like about 2 months, 3 months, start it up, you know, and then what would you say it goes to? I mean, how long would their socialization classes be? Would it be a 6-month thing, a 12-month thing, longer? Well, I mean, how does it work?
Puppy socialization classes are usually just 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. Just
so
like,
your puppy has to
like
be younger than 16 weeks to start. And it's
right.
6 months a week. You just go, your puppy, and play with puppies is so important for puppies too, to learn social cues.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, primarily they learn that from their litter mates when they're itty-bitty baby dogs before you even get to take them home because they're too young, right? So puppy class is even more important for those puppies that didn't have that, right? So they can learn social skills.
I see. Do you ever go off into other animals' behavior? Like, do you ever deal with cats or with prairie dogs or fish? I mean, no, honestly.
In the past, I have done cats.
You have?
A couple aggressive turkeys. Yeah. I've trained alpaca and pigs, and I had the great joy of training a chicken.
You actually trained an alpaca?
I did train an alpaca, yes.
And
my husband's mother has alpacas.
And the alpaca, like, calmed down and didn't get so aggressive?
Oh, she was having a problem with one of her alpacas who, anytime you walked into the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, their play yard? Yeah, I can't think of my words right now. But,
probably a pen. Alpaca pen.
There we go.
I would imagine.
Yeah, their pen.
Yeah.
The mother alpaca would come up and just spit right in your face. And so we taught her instead that when that gate opened, that you should go touch a target that was on the other side of the field. And so she would move herself out of the way so that there wasn't that opportunity to spit in someone's face, because it was more rewarding for her to run over to the barn to touch her target than it was to meet you at the gate and spit in your face. But we worked very hard on giving her a long, solid reinforcement history of lots of treats for going to touch that target when someone opens the gate.
How long was that therapy session or sessions for? How many were there? How long did it last?
Well, because it was family, I went there once and kind of showed her through how to go over it. And then when I was there again a month later, we did a lot of practice with people approaching the gate and her going over. But and she probably practiced every day for 5 or 10 minutes. And within the first couple of weeks, this alpaca was very good at running to her barn for familiar people.
Okay, so
it was a little bit longer for unfamiliar people, but that's about to be expected.
So the therapy was a success after like 14 days or so?
Right, with familiar people, yes.
Yeah, no, that sounds really great. I mean, I love hearing success stories. I mean, some people go into therapy for years and years and years, and then they continue going to, you know, therapy. And, you know, if therapy helps, great, you know. But, you know, it's kind of wonderful when a dog or a person or an alpaca becomes an independent, well-adjusted individual.
Absolutely. And I think the most important thing there is that you have to look at whatever undesirable behavior you're getting. So whether it's a reaction on leash or, you know, chewing or whatever that thing may be, you need to replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we never just say, no, it's let's not do this. Let's do this instead. But we need to teach that thing that we want them to do instead. And then we need to help them to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right? In the face of that stress.
Yeah, I have a daughter, and one of the things the doctors made clear to me, or you know, made sense, was offer the little one choices and make it their decision to either clean up their room or to, you know, wash their hands and clean themselves up, or you know, take a nap on the couch. But you give them it's their decision. But everything they do is a healthy decision. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of trickery, sure, but guess what? It's a healthy win-win for the parent and for the child.
Right. And, you know, punishing children, we know, and punishing dogs kind of puts them in an emotional state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I never liked being punished as a child, and I certainly held grudges against my mother for it. I was always much more thankful when it was, hey, you'll get $5 for every A you get on your report card rather than you're grounded because you got a B.
Mm-hmm.
I was always much more likely to get those A's when there was cash money at the end of the tunnel. Now, mm-hmm. Lucky for us, dogs will work for cookies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people work for cookies too, don't they now? You know?
Oh, they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and ice cream.
Yeah. Anne-Marie, this has been a treat. I hope the next time you call in and we do an interview, we get other people calling in with their questions. I guess everyone is pretty satisfied with their dog/pet situation at the moment. So before I let you go, why don't you just repeat again your information in case anyone wants to contact you with a direct, maybe it's a little too personal to broadcast what their dog situation is. So maybe someone wants to call you or get in touch with you. So how do they reach you?
Yeah, so again, my website, you're always more than welcome to check out, is BrainiacsDogTraining.com. You can always email me at BrainiacsDogTraining@gmail.com. And you can check us out on Instagram. Username is BrainiacsDT. Mm-hmm. That's DT as in dog training. You're also welcome to give me a call, although I will openly admit I have a 3-year-old and I am not always the best at answering my phone when I'm home. But you can try.
You do have a 3-year-old, really?
I do.
Oh, you must be crazy busy, right? I mean,
Yeah. You know, and they say dogs have about the mental capacity of a 2-year-old, and I'll tell you that's true.
Oh, wow.
Everything I knew about dog training worked incredibly well for helping my toddler through sleep training and potty training and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to try giving me a call, it's 203-731-9201.
Excellent. All right, listeners, that was Anne-Marie Silverberg from Brainiacs, and it was a treat. Thank you so much for calling in, and have a great weekend. Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, and you too. Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that was Anne-Marie Silverberg. She's from Brainiacs, and that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. I hope you liked it too. Call me. Let me know what you thought of my discussion with Anne-Marie, and let's get back to the music.
Love. special call.
You fail.
That was the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band with Death Cab for Cutie. That's going out to Jim by request. Here's a song that I discovered fairly recently. It's a great song. Check this out. We're changing gears a little bit. Hope you like it. It's going to steal your heart away. Song. Any guesses out there who sang that? That was Fleetwood Mac, believe it or not, with Steal Your Heart Away on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. We're brought to you by Tufts University, where freeform radio, no commercials, and lots of fun and lots of great stuff. After this next song, guess what? I'll have the rundown, and this next song will have you thinking. I always, when I hear this song, I can't help but think about School of Economics major Michael Jagger listening to the song saying, hey, I can sing like that. And think about Michael Jagger singing this one, WMFO.
You asked me to give up the hand of a girl I love. You tell me I'm not the man she's worthy of. But who are you to tell her who to love? That's up to her. Yes, and the Lord above. You better move on. Well, I know you can buy her fancy clothes and diamond rings, but I believe she's happy with me without those things. Still, you beg me to set her free.
but my friend, that will never be. You better move on. Me to give up the only love I've ever had. Maybe I would, oh, but I love her so. Never gonna let her go. You better move on.
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 Arthur Alexander right there with You Better Move On. It's a song that the Rolling Stones copied, and boy, did they copy that one. WMFO Medford, it's time for the rundown. And without further ado, here we go. Here are the songs we smashed into today on today's Acoustic Sailing. We started the show off way back at 4 o'clock with Paul Weller. We heard Mayfly. That's from his brand new record called True Meanings. It just came out a matter of months ago. Then it was an interview with Anne-Marie Silverberg. We heard Anne-Marie's advice about dog training and dog behavior, and I really enjoyed that. If you want to check it out, go to WMFO.org, punch in today's date, which is January 5th, 2019, and you can get to hear the interview if you'd like. After the interview with Anne-Marie Silverberg, we heard The Who. We heard The Dogs record. It's a great record called Dogs. It's one of the early singles way back in the early 1960s. It's actually the mid-1960s, and that's from 30 Years of Maximum R&B. The Ooh with Dogs. Then we heard one more track by Paul Weller. We heard White Horses off of True Meanings. Then by request, we heard the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. We heard Death Cab for Cutie from the Bonzo Dog Band Volume 1, the intro. Then it was Fleetwood Mac with Steal Your Heart Away from Say You Will. And we ended up the first hour of Acoustic Sailing with Arthur Alexander. With You Better Move On from Maud, the early years. And Arthur Anderson does a lovely, lovely vocal on You Better Move On. I always enjoyed that one. Well, the next hour from 5 to 6, I'll be on the air with you, and I really hope you continue listening of all kinds of songs, some that will surprise you, I bet, some that will knock you out, and there might even be one that you dislike, but I doubt it. This is WMFO. I want to hear from you. It's 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Give me a call, and I'll play what you want to hear. Remember, before we jump into the next hour, remember the show's motto is Fortitudin Vin Nicmas, or Vin Simas. Fortitune Vin Simas. It's by endurance we conquer. Okay, it's time for the second hour to begin. Remember, folks, this is WMFO in Medford, and the show you're listening to is Acoustic Sailing. We play acoustic music all the way up until we shatter the acoustic ceiling, and then we play everything above and beyond the acoustic ceiling. And we play freeform music, basically. And we're going to start the show off with some acoustic music. I hope you like this one. This is a song that came out in 2018. It's Buckets of Rain. This is WMFO Medford.
Buckets of rain, buckets of tears, all in buckets coming out of my ears, buckets of moonbeams in my hand. You got all the love, honey, baby, I can stand. Like an oak, seen pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey, baby, I'll be here. A red bike, ain't no monkey, but I know what I like. I like the way you love me strong and slow. I'm taking you with me, honey, baby, when I go. Like your smile, your fingertips, like the way that you move your hips. Yeah, I like the cool way you look at me. Everything about you is bringing me misery. Life is sad, life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You must do what you do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell?